Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy. Welcome back, Messies. Today's episode is for anyone who feels uncertain about their romantic relationship. If you've been stuck in a cycle of wondering, questioning, and second-guessing, I want to share something that helped me find clarity and has helped so many others do the same. These are five questions that a therapist once asked me when I was at a major crossroads in my marriage. The quiet possibility of divorce had formed in my deepest knowing that I was hoping for one big, bright neon sign, something outside of me to give me permission to walk away from my marriage. Instead, I got a multitude of signs pointing me towards my required action, moments that required my willingness to reflect, grow, dig down deep to find the courage to take the next step forward. One of those life-altering invitations came to me in the form of five questions. Simple, direct, and impossible to unhear. Questions that guided me towards leaving a bad relationship while also eventually guiding me to a healthy one. Since hearing these five questions, I've shared them with countless others sitting at their own crossroads, and I've watched them create space for deep, honest breakthroughs to move others forward, just as they did for me. If you now find yourself sitting in the quiet tension of, should I stay or should I go? This episode is for you. Are you at a crossroads in your relationship? Has the thought of ending it quietly or loudly been living in the back of your mind? Are you waiting for a final sign, a big moment, or someone else to make the decision for you? Or if you find yourself wondering what it is that you eventually want in a relationship, putting together your non-negotiables, these can be very helpful to consider as well. If any of this sounds familiar, I hope you find the same kind of clarity from these questions as they once brought me. I've read once that it often takes a woman 2 years to go through with a divorce after first verbalizing wanting one. Anecdotally, I've seen that to be true for the women in my life, and it's crazy how accurate it was for me. My divorce was final on September 11th, 2012. The very first time I mentioned divorce as a possibility was on August 23rd, 2010, just a little over 2 years prior. On that August evening in 2010, my best friend Courtney and I had just seen the movie Eat, Pray, Love. And somewhere in that dark theater, something inside me broke open. As we sat eating a pizza after the movie, I quietly said to her, "I think I'm going to get divorced someday." Up until that moment, the idea of a divorce had been a quiet whisper deep within. As I sat watching Elizabeth Gilbert's story, I could so vividly see myself. The feelings that arose in me were what finally brought those little internal whispers to life, allowing me to speak them for the very first time. Once my truth was spoken, momentum towards action had been unleashed. Shortly after confiding in Courtney, I started to secretly see a therapist. I felt so guilty for thinking about divorce. My initial intent with therapy was to find a way to fix me. My daughter was only 2, and dismantling her family felt so selfish. These feelings must be coming from my broken background. A big part of me hoped that the therapist would talk me out of the idea. At just our 3rd session, the therapist said I was giving mixed signals, often using language caught between what I thought I should feel and do versus what my inner knowing was saying to do. She asked if she could pose a few questions to help me get clear. I, of course, said yes, and the truth started to shine through. Later, I'll share how I responded and why I think each of these questions are so important. But for now, I just want to share what it is that she asked me. As I read each question, I invite you to reflect on any words that come to mind for your own situation. How does each question make you feel? Do you notice any body sensations with any particular question? You are welcome to pause after any or all of the questions to spend time reflecting in the moment. All right, here are the 5 questions. Question 1. Do you feel like your most authentic self when you are with your partner? Question 2. Do you feel empowered by this relationship? Does it give you energy to take on the world, or does it drain and deplete you? Question 3. Would your friends and family be surprised if you told them you were getting a divorce? Question 4. If you weren't in a romantic relationship with this person, would you pick them today to be one of your friends? Question 5. Picture your current partner in the future happy with somebody else. How does that make you feel? All right. We're about to dig deeper into each one of the questions. If you need to pause and go back through any of the individual ones, you are welcome to do so. But for now, let's dig into question 1. Do you feel like your most authentic self when you are with your partner? My answer was no. That was simply my answer to my therapist when I was posed that question. I had spent years editing myself, dimming, trying to be the version of me that I thought my husband needed. But honestly, I didn't even recognize myself in my own marriage anymore. This question cut straight to the soul because authenticity is a cornerstone of healthy love. If you have to shrink, contort, silence, or edit who you are to make a relationship work, it is not working. Not for the real you anyway. Research from Brené Brown and others in the field of emotional resilience has shown that people who report feeling a strong sense of belonging in their relationships also report high levels of authenticity. In contrast, when we chronically suppress parts of ourselves to maintain connection, we experience higher rates of anxiety, resentment, and emotional burnout. Psychologist Carl Rogers once said, "The curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change." But what happens when you spend years trying to be agreeable instead of being real? You lose your center. And that's exactly what had happened to me. I wasn't being false necessarily. I had just become so edited that I forgot who I even was when I wasn't trying to please somebody else. Here are a few additional questions to help you dig into whether authenticity is an area in your relationship where you may have some gaps. Do you feel safe being emotionally honest? Do you speak your mind or filter every word to avoid a reaction? Do you feel seen? Or do you feel like you're performing a version of yourself that you think your partner prefers? Your person should help you return to yourself, not abandon yourself. A healthy relationship is one in which love is given room to grow the truth, not silence it. Is your relationship built on the real you or just the acceptable parts of you? Question 2. Do I feel empowered by this relationship? Does it give me energy to take on the world, or does it drain me? This question hit me right in the body. My body answered it before I could even form the words. Through the constant fatigue, the dread in my stomach whenever my ex walked through the door, the way my shoulders tensed around him without me even realizing. And when I finally said it out loud, this relationship drains me. I felt both relief and grief because I knew it had been true for a really long time. And why does this matter? Love is not supposed to be a permanent energy suck. In a healthy relationship, your partner doesn't complete you, but they do support your expansion. They become your co-visionary, your mirror, your soft place to land, and your launch pad. Psychologist Esther Perel says it beautifully. The quality of your relationships determine the quality of your life. Studies back this up too. The Harvard Study of Adult Development, the longest-running study on human happiness, found that the most significant predictor of long-term health and fulfillment was not career success or wealth, but the strength and positivity of close relationships. Relationships that nourish us, not ones that exhaust us. A draining relationship over time correlates with higher cortisol levels, more frequent illness, and burnout, not just emotionally, but physically too. The body keeps score and it remembers every day you force yourself to carry the weight of a connection that does not feed you. So some questions to ask yourself. Does your person make you feel more alive or less? Do they encourage your growth, or does your light feel like too much for them? When you're with them, do you feel free to dream or too tired to try? For me, I realized I was tiptoeing through each day, emotionally managing both of us. That's not partnership, that's depletion. Surround yourself with people who add value to your life, who multiply your joy and defy your stress. A life partner doesn't have to be perfect. They should be someone who adds to your life. If the relationship feels like an emotional drain, more than a source of energy, the most loving thing you can do might be to get honest about that. Because you deserve to feel energized by the life you are building, not emptied by it. All right, question 3. Would your friends and family be surprised if you told them you were getting a divorce? When my therapist asked me this, I hesitated. Most of my friends wouldn't be surprised, I said, but some of my family definitely would. And that's when it hit me. I had been living two lives, the public performance and the private truth. One looked tidy and polite. The other was slowly unraveling behind the scenes. This question exposes the emotional gap between how we appear and how we actually are. And in many relationships, especially ones we've outgrown, that gap can get wide enough to make you feel like a stranger in your own life. When the people closest to us wouldn't be shocked if we left, that's telling. It means the signs have been there, even if we haven't been ready to face them. And if they would be shocked, that's worth noticing too, because it may point to how much we've been hiding, minimizing, or covering up to protect an image, or avoid uncomfortable conversations. Social psychologist Dr. Shelley Gable's research on relationship responsiveness shows that people thrive when they can share their realities, good, bad, and in between, with others who respond supportively. But if you've been silently struggling and wearing a mask to keep up appearances, you're not getting that support. And that disconnection will eventually show up in your health your mental well-being, and your self-trust. A few more questions to consider for this one. Are you living in alignment or are you maintaining an illusion? Who in your life knows the real state of your relationship? Have you been performing happiness because it's safer than telling the truth? And perhaps the hardest part, are you afraid of disappointing people more than you're afraid of disappearing? For me, this question surfaced something deeper. I had built a life that looked good on paper, but didn't feel good in my heart. And I was terrified that telling the truth would let people down. But here's the truth. Pretending to be okay doesn't protect anyone. It just prolongs everyone's pain. This question is a mirror, and if your answer reveals a disconnect between what the world sees and what's real, you deserve the freedom of alignment, of not having to hold up a version of your life that no longer feels like yours. Question 4. If you weren't married to this person, would you pick them today to be one of your friends? This one was the gut punch for me, because I had never thought about it that way before. We were married. We had history, vows, a mortgage, a rhythm, a daughter. I had been asking myself, can I stay in this? Not would I even choose this again. But when I paused and really considered it, the answer broke my heart. No. This person is not somebody that I would choose to be friends with today. At its core, a romantic relationship is an intimate friendship. A life partnership isn't just about love and attraction. It's about mutual respect, trust, curiosity, shared values, and the ability to genuinely enjoy each other's presence. Dr. John Gottman, one of the leading relationship researchers, found that deep friendship is the foundation of lasting romantic connection. The happiest couples genuinely like each other. They admire one another, laugh together, share interests, and care about each other's inner worlds. So when this question reveals that you wouldn't even pick this person as a friend, it's not petty. It's clarity. Because if you strip away the titles, husband, wife, partner, and just ask, would I choose this human to stand beside me? The answer tells you everything about whether love is rooted in connection or just obligation. A few other things to reflect on for this question. Do you respect this person? Do you trust them with your dreams and your mess? If you met this person today, would you be drawn to them? Or would you slowly edge away? For me, I realized that if we met now, grown, aware, unfiltered, I would not have gravitated towards this person. And that truth was hard, because it meant the foundation I had been standing on wasn't one I would be willing to build again. Learning that I wasn't even sure I could do friendship with this person, let alone the forever part, that truth landed hard. I could no longer keep pretending that just because I had once chosen this man meant that I had to keep choosing him. People change, and sometimes the kindest thing you can do for both of you is to tell the truth about who you are now. This one might hurt. It definitely did for me. But it also freed me from making decisions based on who we used to be instead of who we actually were. Question 5. Picture your partner as an ex and happy with somebody else. How does that make you feel? I remember this question caught me off guard. I closed my eyes, pictured it, and surprisingly, I smiled. He looks happy, I said, and honestly, I feel so good about that. I want him to be happy. And I meant that. I thought that meant I was being mature, compassionate, maybe even loving. But then my therapist looked back at me and said something I'll never forget. Most people who are still in love can't stomach the thought of their person being happy with someone else. That was the moment that the floor shifted beneath me. The question wasn't about jealousy. It's about emotional tethering. When you're deeply in love with somebody, the idea of them being emotionally or intimately connected to another person is usually unbearable. You don't want to imagine it. You can't. It stings. But when you can picture it with ease, even relief, which was my case, it says something. It means a part of you has already let go. Psychologist and author Dr. Lisa Firestone describes this phenomenon in her work on emotional detachment and relationship closure. She says, when emotional investment fades, so does emotional threat. What once would have felt like betrayal starts to feel like neutrality or even kindness. In other words, if the idea of your partner finding happiness with someone else feels peaceful, that's often a sign that your emotional tie to them has already loosened. Some other things to question here. Are you still emotionally enmeshed or already halfway out the door? Is your attachment rooted in love or is it rooted in habit? Do you feel sadness, jealousy, or indifference when you imagine them moving on? For me, this question revealed something I hadn't wanted to admit. I was holding on out of fear, not love. I was afraid of change, of hurting people, of starting over, but not of losing him. That realization didn't make me cruel or cold. It made me honest. And if you're listening to this and this one brings you a sense of peace or release, you're also not broken. You may just be closer to your truth than you thought. After our five-question exercise, the therapist gently commented that divorce seemed like the direction I was headed. And she was right. But as powerful as that moment in her office was, it didn't lead to immediate action on my part. I sat with those questions for weeks, then months, revisiting them in quiet moments, replaying those conversations in the car, in the shower, after bedtime routines. I moved forward slowly at the pace that felt right. Each new sign, each gut check was weighed carefully, especially through the lens of what was best for my daughter. Eventually, divorce became the outcome of my first marriage. Not a failure, just the natural conclusion of a chapter that had done what it came to do and was ready to be closed. All right. Before we wrap this episode, I had one more exercise to share that may help provide additional perspective for you. For this bonus reflection, grab a pen and a piece of paper, or have a blank screen or a note ready to type on. After I give you instructions, please pause this episode and do the exercise. Come on back and replay this section if you need to hear the instructions a few times. All right, for the exercise, whatever your pivotal crossroads is related to, please write down a closed-ended yes or no type question. Sums up what you are trying to decide. Remember, it has to be something that can be answered with either a yes or a no. Once you've written down your closed-ended question, read it over a few times. Make changes if you need to, until you get to a question that feels right. Pause this episode, write down your closed-ended question, and come back to us once you're ready. Welcome back. Do you have the final version of your closed-ended yes or no question ready? If you still need to refine further, please go ahead and pause again to make sure you finish it. you're going to need the final version of your question for this next part. All right, for the final step of our bonus reflection, take a look at your open-ended yes or no question. While not a foolproof guarantee, the answer to that question is likely going to be yes. How do I know that, you might ask? A few psychological principles are at play to inform how you phrase your yes or no question. Things like confirmation bias, framing effects, and biased search often lead us to a tendency to frame questions and information in a way that supports our desired outcome. Along with the five questions posed by my therapist, how you wrote your specific question is another factor worth reflecting on. In closing, if you are walking through a season of uncertainty where clarity feels just out of reach, I hope today's questions, reflections, and exercises help bring something into focus. Maybe a truth you've been avoiding, maybe a next step you've been too scared to name, or maybe just the permission to start listening more closely to yourself. You don't need to have it all figured out today, but you do deserve a life built on truth, not performance, peace, not pretense, and love that makes space for your full, authentic, ever-evolving self. Whatever your crossroads looks like, trust that you are not alone in it, and trust that whatever clarity you're searching for, it's already whispering. All that's left is to listen. Until next time, stay messy, my friends. Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this: messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.